Blog Talk Radio.
Reaching the middle class was once the selling point of our country's socioeconomic baseline. Now, as we slowly dig our way out of the country's hard-hitting recession, how can the average working person stay the course in middle-class America while maintaining the financial foothold needed both now and in the future? Our financial expert, Lurie Davis, is back to cover this important issue by laying out a five-step plan to creating wealth in 2014. If the uncertainties of life keep eating away at your wallet, get out your notepad, pen, and calculator, and get ready for a 30-minute clinic to help you build your game plan for financial success. Hello, this is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and you are listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the show. I am so glad that you are with us today. I look outside my window, and I see a fresh coat of snow on the ground. We thought we had a little break, and we know that spring is definitely right around the corner, but this has been a hard-hitting, gripping winter, and the last 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, have just been, we've been inundated with snow. So I know if wherever you are, if you're somewhere in the northern part of the United States, you know what I'm talking about. If you're in Miami or whatever, oh, we want that kind of weather badly. But we hope that you are doing well and going about your day and just realizing that we're already into the third month of 2014. You blink, things change, and wow, it's amazing how this year is really clipping away. So we are excited because I'd like to bring in experts like Lurie Davis, who is going to talk with us in just a few minutes about how you can have a really strong game plan, a five-step plan to help out with wealth creation throughout 2014 and how important that is now. Not from the point of view of having just a perfectly laid out plan, but I want to really talk about what happens when you have things that happen to you, unexpected things that happen to you, unexpected bills that take place, things that you just didn't see coming. How can you still have a game plan moving you forward in the midst of all the distractions, incidences, challenges, and problems that we have in the world today? So we'll talk about that because that has everything to do with being empowered. I want to have a special shout-out to Gail Jackson Blount, Daryl Settles, the owner of Daryl's Bar and Grill here in the Boston area. We had a wonderful book signing earlier this week, a nice crowd that came. It's such a great place, delicious food, and just a very supportive group of individuals who came and bought books and asked lots of good questions. And we celebrated the birthday of Audrey Jones, who was 81 years young, in the next couple of days. And my guest was also there too, and we were just talking about the importance of supporting each other's business. So thanks so much. I have a number of book signings. I'm going to be in Detroit next weekend for my brother's 65th birthday party and have two book signings set up there. And so I'm going to be hitting the road going forward, going to various places and towns and cities around the United States and elsewhere, talking about the books that I have written and the important topics that I think are going to matter to each and every one of you. So thank you so much for the continued support. It really makes a big difference. Well, let's bring our guest on now because I have my pen and paper out. I'm going to be taking copious notes as well. He always has great advice to share with us. Thank you so much, Lurie Davis. He's part of our Kitchen Cabinet Leadership Team here with Focus on Empowerment, and he is back to give us great advice today. Welcome, Lurie.
Hello, Carol. Good to be here with you.
Ah, super, super. So today you're going to focus on the middle class and a five-point plan specifically for the middle class. I did in the setup piece how the American dream really has all been about being in the middle class, having a job, getting a home. I'm from Detroit, so, I mean, that was all about having a job, getting a home, taking care of your family, and moving up into the middle class. What are the conditions now, or how are things now Lori, from your perspective in terms of the ready availability of moving into the middle class?
I believe it's extremely difficult move into the middle class and to stay into the middle class, because when we look out at most of the policies that most of the city, state, federal government are starting to issue out, there's programs for the poor, and then there's mm-hmm. programs for the wealthy, because the wealthy controls most of all aspect of our life, but the middle mm-hmm. class is the area where more and more people are falling out of the middle class and finding it extremely difficult to stay in the middle class.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty sobering. And I concur with you that there are ample programs, sometimes a little over-indexed in terms of those who are disadvantaged. I'm talking about the United States in certain areas, and certainly in the Boston area where we reside. There are just a wealth of programs where people, if they put their mind to it, if circumstances really work out, they certainly can move forward with the kind of support that all people need. But the people in the middle, it's not always there. It has sort of been there in the past. We know about the GI Bill of Rights and the way people bought homes in the past if they were in the military. That's how a lot of people moved into the middle class. But those kind of opportunities aren't as available as they were in past years. So let's just go right into it. You have a 5-step plan that you're going to share with us for wealth creation for 2014, and I sort of put these little stumbling blocks in the way because we know that there's never a perfect plan, and things aren't always the way we want them to be. Things happen to us, and we want to keep and be mindful of that. But let's move right into step number one, Larry.
Okay, great. I think, first of all, I would recommend that everybody tune in to your blog and go back and listen in to some of our prior conversations that we've had. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. it's so empowering that you have this on the Internet 24/7 that anybody mm-hmm. can tune in and listen in. The first mm-hmm. step that I want everybody to focus in, what I call is the wealth mentality. I believe that mm-hmm. it all starts in your mind. You have mm-hmm. to change your thought patterns or attitude towards money. So what that means is that we now need to really focus on accumulating assets. It's not mm-hmm. so much what is my, the income, or I'm getting an increase in my salary. You want to start owning things. If you're an owner, then you're going to be starting to make a difference financially for yourself, and that's going to help to hopefully start to increase your net worth so that you start to focus on getting a positive net worth. So we're really focusing on that net worth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is, I'm sitting up here and I am taking notes. That is such an important thing. What you're saying is really like a paradigm shift where you've got to stop thinking. Some people have been accused of having like a poverty mentality where you're
Absolutely.
Looking at scarcity of things all the time instead of how things are going to be and how things should be. So changing that attitude is the power of suggestion, the power of words. That's just what it is. They're very, very powerful. So it holds true with money and wealth. And thank you for that first step. But how can one achieve that? What's an easy way or a quick way to get on board with step number one, Larry?
Step number one, I believe the Internet is so powerful. You have so much resources available to you. I would recommend that you also subscribe to some magazines that you can have come into the home on a regular basis, like Money Magazine, Forbes mm-hmm. Magazine, and Fortune Magazine, just to name a few. But there's a wealth of magazines and a wealth of websites that one could tune into on a regular basis. Even if you were to tune in on a daily basis, let's say Yahoo Finance, to mm-hmm. every day to tune in just to see what's going on financially and economically.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'll suggest Black Enterprise. I've subscribed to that for many years, and so that's also very good if you are an African American or want to know about business. But they typically have very good articles about wealth accumulation as well. So having those resources and developing this whole mindset is so very, very important. That's probably going to be a future show for us, just talking about the power of the mind and particularly with people of color, African Americans in general, where the disadvantaged circumstances have created to our mindset, but just trying to move away from that is extremely, extremely important. Let's move on to number
two.
And
on the subject, Carol, I think from when we look at our history from an African American perspective, social justice was the issue that we had dominated and really fought for. We now have to move that paradigm onto economic justice.
Yes.
And looking at the financial aspect of our lives.
And that goes hand in hand with economic justice, economic development, wealth creation, small business creation. You're correct. We, in many cases in the African American community, are over-indexed in the social areas, such as social justice, and particularly in education. Now, obviously, I'm a big proponent, and you are too, of education. But what I hear, and I've had this conversation within my sorority, Delta Sigma Theta, is that I'll use us as an example. Probably 64, 65% of our membership are women who are gainfully employed in, we have many more who are gainfully employed, but they are gainfully employed in the fields of education, the teachers. And so our subject matters tend to revolve around education when we have our public forums or our conferences that we hold, and so they revolve around that. And it's a matter of broadening the topic so that economic development is as important as education, and they're really linked and go hand in hand. We're actually having this discussion here in the Tri-State so that we're moving, in addition to the social justice components that we typically talk about, we are also adding on this whole economic development component. Really, really important. Thank you for sharing
that. Okay,
number two.
So now I would say the next step for us, and then I want to come back to this step, actually, hopefully we'll have a little time to give an example. And step number two is to save and invest 15% of your gross salary or your annual pay.
I'm writing it down. Save and invest 15% of your gross, not net, but gross
salary. Not net,
salary.
Gross. We're going to talk about those, and I want to give an example of how to go about doing.
Okay, all right. You want to move ahead with all five, and then we'll come back and touch on each one so that we get all this out before the discussion
expands? Yes, I would recommend that.
Okay, all right. Let's move on to number three.
Okay, and number three, my favorite, of course, is to establish the Roth IRA. I believe that every family should have a Roth IRA established. The Roth IRA allows an annual contribution of $5,000, and if you are over age 50, you're allowed a annual contribution of $6,500, and you're allowed up until April of the following year to make the contribution, the full contribution.
So for 2013, you would have to have that full contribution in place by April 15th of this year. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
There's a lot of people who still have some time to make a Roth contribution for the year 2013, or if they only made, let's say, half of a contribution, they can put in the additional amount up into April 15th. Or when you're taxed,
right.
Sometimes like Massachusetts, we have up until around the 17th, 18th, depending on the weekend.
Right, right. Because we have Patriots Day, and that Monday, depending, I don't know, I'm looking at the 15th right now. The 15th isn't actually, no, the 15th is going to be on Tuesday, so that'll be tax day. Sometimes it falls on Monday, and we do get those extra days. Great.
Let's
move on to number four.
Okay, and number four is you want to build a mutual fund or a stock portfolio based on a long-term horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to use dollar cost average as the mechanism to do that. And what dollar cost average is setting up something automatically so that it will happen on a consistent basis, such as on a monthly basis, a quarterly basis, a semi-annual basis, or on an annual basis.
Great.
So you would start
we'll
to build
to
that portfolio.
Great. All right. And number five.
And number five is one that I debate a lot of times with my clients. In fact, I have a conversation with one of my clients this week about this. And this is to pay off your home in full by the time you retire.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people get into the big debate about being able to write off the interest for tax purposes and to want to keep a mortgage around. But I believe that the best thing from a wealth perspective is to have that home paid off in retirement so that you don't have to worry about a mortgage payment.
Hmm. Great advice. Great, and something I am strongly thinking and considering as we speak. So you just confirmed it. Definitely
okay.
Confirmed it. So we're going to go back, and we're going to talk about each one. We're talking with Lurie Davis. I've taken notes. We have people in the chat room, and I'm sure they're taking notes as well, and those who will download this program. Let me just go through the list, and then in the remaining time, we will talk about each one. Wealth, creating a wealth mentality is step number one, at changing our attitudes about money. Step number two, saving 15% of our gross income. Number three, setting up a Roth IRA and saving $5,000 a year, or if you are over 50, you can save up to $6,500 a year. Number four, building a mutual fund or stock portfolio. And from a long-term perspective, using dollar-cost averaging. And number five, pay off your home in full by the time you retire. Okay, let's go back. We talked about number one. Let's talk about number two and why that's important. Now, we know in the church that we're always talking about saving giving 10% of our income to the church. So this is like the flip side. This is the bookend if you are a faith-based person. And this is your personal savings and commitment to yourself. Talk to us about why that's important, Lurie.
Okay, sure. Carol, one of the things that I do when I do a financial plan for a client and we work on the budget, the first line item on the budget we have is charity. The second line item on there is the savings, investing for yourself, paying yourself, and then all the additional bills are after that. So we always want to get into a place where we always look out for number one, which is ourselves. And this is a good way right here if you're focused on, okay, I need to make sure that from January to December that I've at least put away 15% of my gross. So let's say if you have a salary of $50,000 is going to be your salary this year. 15% of $50,000 is $7,500. So $7,500 would be the goal. And how would we save that? How would we be able to save $7,500 from that $50,000 salary? First place that you would want to look is your pension. If your employer has a pension account, 401k, 403b, you want to make sure that you sign up for that pension and you start to contribute to that pension. And let's say your employer has told you that they will only match 4%. I would say go ahead and do the 4% because you're now going to be getting free money with the employer is going to also contribute 4% and match your 4% in the pension program. So 4% would end up being $2,000 of the $7,500 that you're trying to put away. So monthly, that would end up being where your employer would go in pre-tax. So this would be pre-tax money where your employer would go in, deduct $166 from your pay, place it into a pension account. At the end of the year, would have $2,000 that has been placed into that pension account for you. So now, if that's 4% and we're trying to get 15%, you still have some money to put away for yourself
right.
to reach that goal of 15%. The next place you would want to look is the Roth IRA. So on the Roth IRA, you're allowed to put away $5,000 in the Roth IRA, which would end up being 10% of the $50,000. So that would average out to be $416 that would have to go on a monthly basis that you could set up on a dollar cost average program. And all of the mutual fund companies, all of the brokerage houses, they allow you to have money that will leave a savings account or a checking account. In some cases, your employer will also allow it to be set up to automatically go directly to the mutual fund company, which is a great way to establish that.
Let me go back and just make sure that I'm clear, because I'm sure some listeners are going to ask this too. So we're going back to step number two again, the 15% gross. And we use the example of someone making $50,000 a year, their employer contributing 4%, which adds up to about $2,000 of this the savings goal. So are you saying that the remaining $5,000, you would recommend putting that into this Roth IRA?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Because the benefit for the Roth versus your employer's pension program is that at a future date, you will pay no taxes whatsoever on the contributions that have gone that are going to go into the Roth, because this is after-tax dollars that's going to go into the Roth, versus in the pension for the employer, it was pre-tax dollars.
I get it. Got it. Now, this building the mutual fund and stock portfolio, that would be in addition to this 15% savings, correct?
No, it's not. No, it's not. This is part of it. So this
is a total
of 15% building your portfolio in the mutual fund and stock. You can use as part of your investment in your Roth, you can go in building a portfolio inside of your Roth with the Roth portion of the $416 in this example. You could have that going in to build a stock portfolio or a mutual fund portfolio.
So we're still talking about Roth, but this mutual fund would be a component of the Roth IRA, still with the $415.
That's correct. You could use stock or mutual funds or inside of the Roth, either stock, individual stock, or mutual as being one of the investment vehicle to fund the Roth.
Okay, so now let me flip it and ask this question. We're talking about people who are working for others. So they're employed, and they've got their employees, and so they have these vehicles. What about the entrepreneur? How does this apply, these examples apply to an entrepreneur where you're self-employed?
For a self-employed individual, there is unlimited opportunity available to you to even put away more money into pension accounts, because you're allowed to establish a pension for your business. And the percentages are much, much higher as to what you could potentially contribute in terms of overall on an annual basis versus an employee of a corporation or of a company. So you could establish a pension program and set up what's called there are two parts of the pension, like the 401k program that you can contribute, but also there's other parts of the pension which you could potentially almost get up to 25% of your gross placed into a pension program.
Okay.
So it could be a higher contribution.
Are greater.
That's correct.
And higher contribution. Now, all of this is contingent on your cash flow and your revenue stream.
Absolutely.
In your business.
That's right. But for a small business, if you didn't have as much money coming in, but you know that, okay, you have not you've not been contributing to a pension, let's say, for the past 3, 4, 5 years because you've been focused on this business and using all of that capital to put right back into the business, and now you're at a place where you can start to put some money away for retirement. And the Roth might be the good place to start if you could at least put away $5,000 on an annual basis. But if you can put away more, then you would want to establish a pension program for the business.
So even with a small business owner, the Roth IRA is still your choice and your recommendation for those who are entrepreneurs or small business owners if, in fact, they're ramping up.
Yes, that would be correct.
Okay, great, great. Now, I want to ask this question. This comes from one of our listeners. This is a social media question. What about, now we're talking about those who are establishing, those who are adding up, and we don't have a lot of time left for the program, but what about, where do you start if life has happened, you're up in age, and you're really having to start all over again? How does this plan work for someone, let's say, in their 50s, or their 60s, and whatever plan they've had heretofore hasn't really measured up well, and they're having to just start at ground one again?
Well, I think from my perspective, Carol, I believe it's a great opportunity, a great time for one to refocus. And I think when you look at where we started with your wealth mentality, the way mm-hmm. that you think about things, how you position things in your mind, your thoughts, pattern in those words are so important. So a 50-year-old who, let's say, got a pink slip, they're now unemployed, I look at that as a calling from above telling you that I have greater things for you if you allowed your mind to receive it. You could then turn around and set the stage for your life in the possibility of life of what you could do. You could become an entrepreneur and start a mm-hmm. new business and follow your passion and do something that you've always wanted to do, and then mm-hmm. allow that to move, and you would never believe the amount of money that you could potentially earn and make a living off of that.
I'm gonna press this forward when we meet again, when you're back on the show, because I think that more and more people that are working and trying to move ahead may fall into this category. So we're gonna press on with this a little bit into the future, because it certainly has happened to others, and it may happen going forward because of the uncertainty of businesses and organizations today. And then lastly, Lori, this has been a great show and great information. What about this paying off your home before or by the time you retire? What is the significance of that?
I believe that the significance to that is it allows you to go into retirement without the stress of trying to pay off a mortgage obligation on a monthly basis, so that you know that the roof over your head is taken care of. So it gives you a peace of mind that allows you to focus on other things. Now, we know that you cannot have 100% of all of your resources tied into your home, because then at a later stage in life, you might become cash poor, house rich. So there has to be a balance. There has to be somewhat of a balance where you have taken care of those things that we've talked about in the past, such as having your reserve emergency savings put aside anywhere from 6 to 8 months. You have that cushion. The home is paid off. At that stage, a lot of the income that flows into the home at that point now can be used elsewhere.
Well, this is just a great launching pad for us. I have more questions that I'd love to ask, but we are definitely out of time at this point. But let me just very quickly say Lori Davis has had the 5-point plan, wealth mentality, making sure that you are thinking differently about money, saving 15% of your gross income. Number 3, developing or establishing a IRA. Number 4, building a mutual fund or stock portfolio with dollar cost averaging. And number 5, pay off the home in full by the time you retire. Very quickly, Lori, how can people get in touch with you?
Okay, you can reach me in the office. The number is 781-595-0396, or you can send me an email, which is L as in Larry, D as in David, W as in Walter, M as in Mary, @comcast.net.
Great. Lori Davis, financial expert. Thank you so much for being a guest on my program today. We will see everyone next week. Take care. Bye-bye.